controversial helicopter noise study paid for by the Hainesboro was recently released, and Haines has three candidates seeking two open borough assembly seats. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. Haines has a three-way race for two seats on the borough assembly this election season. By filing deadline last Thursday, Margaret Friedenauer, Tresham Gregg, and Jerry Lapp had put their names into the running. The two seats opening this October are currently occupied by Joanne Waterman and Dave Barry Jr. Each seat has a three-year term. If elected, it would be the first time serving in elected office in Haines for both Friedenauer and Gregg. Gregg is an artist and business owner. Friedenauer is a former KHNS news director who now works for Southeast Alaska Conservation Council. Jerry Lapp is a former Hainesboro Assembly member and mayor. He is retired but works part-time for Constantine Metal Resources. On the Haines School Board, there are three seats up for election and three candidates have filed for those spots. Sarah Chapel and Mike Wilson are both current school board members whose seats are opening this term. Chapel was elected to her seat, and Wilson was appointed to his last year to fill a vacancy on the board. Chapel works at KHNS and is a parent of three Haines School students. Wilson is a retired educator. Inez Gross is the third school board candidate. She works at First National Bank and has not run for office in Haines before. Her daughter is a high school senior at Haines School, who also happens to be the student representative on the school board this year. The municipal election is Tuesday, October 6th. The final draft of a controversial helicopter noise study was published last week on the Hainesboro website. The study measured noise levels around helicopters at a proposed 26-mile heliport site. But some residents and experts say the measurements used in the study don't get at the whole picture. KHNS's Greta Mart reports.
We found that the levels are really quite quiet there when nothing's going on. And then when the helicopters operate, they get louder, and then they last for sometimes quite a few minutes.
That's Paul Dunholter, a co-author of the noise study. He says the study's purpose was to simply document and quantify noise levels at and around the Mile 26 heliport.
That would be how loud is it, how long do you hear it, and then if you did a cumulative level of how much exposure is it throughout the day, what would that be?
Results from noise studies are usually made meaningful by relating them to existing standards or regulations, as the report points out. But there aren't any local noise standards in Haines or even the state. That could change in the future.
The issue of noise and helicopter noise had been a subject of concern within the borough for years, but there hadn't been official readings taken. There were different people that had different perspectives on it. The rationale for doing this was to, at this point, get some objective data.
That's Haines Borough Manager Dave Sosa. He says the final cost of the noise study was $41,300. The borough assembly voted unanimously last year to authorize the study, and he says it was not the threat of an ongoing lawsuit that prompted it.
But initially, there was no litigation. It was, we've got this opportunity, let's do a noise study, and then the litigation happened, so it kind of put the brakes on things for a while.
The litigation started after Big Salmon Ventures asked for a permit to use its property off of Chilkat Lake Road as a heliport. The company is affiliated with Southeast Alaska Backcountry Adventures, which takes visitors on heliskiing trips. Company President Scott Sundberg has said that he plans on eventually building a winter sports village and eco-lodge on the site. After the assembly granted Sundberg a one-year conditional use permit to build a heliport on the yet undeveloped property, Chilkat Lake Road resident Jessica Placia appealed the decision in court. Placia and Sosa say they are still waiting for a decision in the case. As for the noise study, Placia calls it fundamentally flawed, and she's worried that borough administrators will establish local noise regulations based on what she considers an inaccurate and misleading study.
I think the borough intends to try to use this noise study to justify noise regulations, and I think citizens need to be concerned that there could be heliports in their neighborhoods that wouldn't qualify in any other municipality that has noise regulations.
The study's results say that the measured average levels at three monitoring sites outside the helipad itself We're generally below the limit of what would be acceptable for a residential neighborhood next to an airport, according to the Federal Aviation Administration.
What we call the ambient noise levels there are low, as you would expect. And when you introduce a helicopter flyover, it's going to be a loud event. And there's no question that people will hear it. Now, one of the problems we run into is that people are affected by noise levels many different ways.
That was Rick Dunkelberg. He's with Mead & Hunt, the firm hired by the borough to provide the study. The study itself was done by a subcontractor, BridgeNet International, which has also conducted noise studies on Juneau's sightseeing helicopter industry. The study's authors use standard noise measurements established by the FAA. One is called A-weighting. It's used to mimic how the human ear hears loudness or sound pressure. Critics of the study say that since A-weighting favors high-frequency noise, it's not a valid way to measure helicopter sound, which tends towards the lower frequencies. But aviation noise experts say A-weighting is the only logical way of assessing helicopter noise at this time. Some governmental organizations have recognized that it may not be adequate. Dr. Paul Schomer was one of the authors of a helicopter noise study prepared by the FAA for Congress in 2004. Schomer says that while the metrics used in the Haynes study were adequate, they don't present a complete picture.
Vibration and rattle is definitely not assessed with A-weighting. One that causes rattle, there's a big increase in annoyance. In studies we did, it's equivalent to 10 to 20 dB shift. That's huge.
Borough Manager Sosa says the study's parameters were decided by the assembly.
No one ever really brought up doing vibration study, but my sense is that would have required more equipment, and I would assume more expense would have been involved as well.
Besides criticizing the methodology of the study, many of the public comments included in the final draft say it was a waste of money. Even the owner of the heliport, Scott Sundberg, says he initially didn't see the need for it.
I didn't think it was necessary, but at this point I can see that it was.
Sundberg says after the assembly's had a chance to review the study, he will likely resubmit his application to keep operating at the 26-mile heliport from February 1st to May 3rd of 2016. Sosa says the study was necessary and will be used by the Planning Commission, quote, as they study options.
How do we determine what happens someplace? That's what zoning is about. So even though there are houses there, it's not zoned residential. That's a general use area.
Administrators say 26-mile residents have never asked for their neighborhood to be rezoned from general use to residential. To do so, 51% of area landowners would need to sign a petition to the Planning Commission requesting it. Although many residents there have spoken out against the heliport, not everyone feels that way. Here is Eagle Bluff Drive resident Joy Paquette.
I have no qualms with the heliport there, none at all. No. I have no problem with it. I just think the money was wasted on the study because common sense says that helicopters are loud on takeoff and landing. But when I hear them, I hear money.
Sosa says contractors from BridgeNet will brief the assembly and the public on the noise study at an upcoming meeting. The full study can be found at HaynesAlaska.gov. Reporting in Haynes, I'm Greta Mart.
British Columbia officials travel to Southeast Alaska this week to discuss concerns about transboundary mines. BC Minister of Mines Bill Bennett and Deputy Minister of the Environment Wes Shoemaker will lead the 7-person delegation. They'll spend 4 days in Juneau and Ketchikan. Meetings with state officials are being led by Lieutenant Governor Byron Mallotte, who chairs the state's Transboundary Mine Working Group. BC officials will also meet with tribal, industry, legislative, and conservation leaders. Mine critics are gearing up for the chance to confront Bennett and others about regulations and permits they consider lax. Heather Hardcastle of Salmon Beyond Borders says the mines could pollute rivers that flow into Alaska and threaten valuable fisheries.
I do think that this issue of upstream development means that we're taking on all the risks and receiving no benefits is uniting all of us on this side to come up with a better relationship with Canada.
British Columbia officials will also meet with Southeast Conference, a regional development group, and the Alaska Miners Association. Association Executive Director Deantha Crockett says she understands critics' concerns, But she says BC mines could be good for Alaskans.
There's a lot of contracting that happens with a mining project, a lot of associated trickle-down jobs that happen with a mining project that we could very well have a part in.
The itinerary also includes the Greens Creek mine near Juneau, which stores waste rock dry rather than underwater behind a dam. Some officials will also travel up the transboundary Taku River to BC and Alaska Fisheries field camps. For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.